Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland at Alpha Media USA. We welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and our two home stations here in Portland, KUFO and KXTG, and everybody, of course, on the Radio Northwest Network. We appreciate that. The cooking comedian. I mean, I know I'm a bit of a clown at times, but there is a gentleman, lives down in Florida, has been doing this a long time. His name's Vic Clevenger. He's a motivational speaker. He can actually barbecue and grill and do all that stuff. And he also does a little stand-up comedy on the side, actually a lot of it. So we're going to be talking to Vic today. A little Southern rock and roll for our music in between the breaks. And one last thing, we want to say thanks to our partners, Painted Hills Natural Beef, from the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef you can feel proud to serve your family and friends. So let's get to it. Vic, welcome to Barbecue Nation.
Hey, JT, I'm glad to be here, man. And it sounds to me that the most important part of your interview today is going to be the breaks when you play the Southern Rock. So that's the part I really want to listen to.
There you go. Well, we got, Steve Earle, Marshall Tucker. Who else came? Who else did I throw in the mix today? Oh, Leonard Skinner. Had to have them.
Well, how can you have a Southern Rock show and not have Skinner?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is their final. It's their final tour season.
The final tour of all tours, or just the final tour for this year?
Well, the final tour of all tours, according to them. So, but it could be like Kiss. You know, Kiss has had their final tour for the past 15 years.
Right, so. Right. And they just one guy dies in the band, they replace him, so then they got to go out on another farewell tour. So I know how
Works.
So what made you think of combining comedy and barbecue and motivational speaking and all this stuff that you do, Vic, together?
Well, nobody else was doing it, to be quite honest. Now, my background has always been communications. That's what my degrees are in, and that's what my experience is doing speaking. But it just gets boring standing up there listening to someone lecture. Like, oh, let me tell you about customer service. Treat your customers with kindness and respect, and they'll treat you with kindness and respect. And it just gets like to be a drag, man.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do something a little different and started moving into comedy. Some people said, you know, you're funnier than you are knowledgeable, so why don't you try comedy? So I tried that, and it worked out well. But then I got into barbecue, and I've always barbecued to an extent, but then I started really getting into it. Like, how can I marinate all this? You like that little barbecue?
I do like that. I like that. Yeah.
See, I'm creative, anyway. And so I marinated all together. So where I'll use comedy to get into a place if they want an MC, they're wanting somebody to do an event like I'm doing next week in up outside of Seattle next week.
Sportsman show.
And then the Washington Sportsman Show, right. So I'm seeing the outdoor cooking part of it. And I'm bringing an alligator with me, so I'm going to be cooking an alligator while I'm up there. So I can show you that I can do something other than talk. So we have all that. So then I start doing that, then marinating it in with my speaking, and then with the cooking, I thought, this could actually be a team-building kind of thing. So as a joke, I decided to cook a steak contest, and this was brought to my attention by Safford Hodgson, who lives in Seattle, who's the executive director of the National Barbecue Association. And we're up at her place, and I was like, I don't want to drag my grill. I got this competition that I want to cook in. I'm also the MC. She goes, why don't you just take a chimney and a grill grate? And I'm like, all right. So I did that, and then the Chimney Cartel was born. Now we had our own contest in Pennsylvania, the Chimney Cartel Steak Cook-Off Throwdown. And the company that hosted it said, you know, this turned into like a great little team building. And then a light bulb went into my head thinking, we can use this as a team building, using the three pillars of the cartel of being willing to explore things, being able to teach other people stuff, and then always have fun doing it.
Right.
So we do all this in being a team building. So I'm starting to marinate all this in together, my love for barbecue, my love for grilling, with my talents of speaking and the creativity it takes to be a comedian. You know, even a bad comedian can be creative.
Well, I always figured bad comedians were kind of like, you know, squirrels. You're going to find a nut once in a while. So, I mean,
exactly,
it's all good.
Right.
You're going to hit a line, and it's all good. So people will still, you know, you can live on hope.
yes, you can. You don't eat well, but you can live on hope.
You don't eat well, and it doesn't pay the light bill, but you'll survive.
Yeah, and I live in Florida. What do we need lights for? I just go live out on a beach someplace.
Well, and you got gators to cook.
Well, yeah, and I can eat gator and anything else. We have all kinds of stuff down here in Florida. It's almost like Australia. If something's going to get either you're going to get by it or you're going to eat it. So something's going to get eaten.
Yeah, I've been down there three times, and I've done some cooking for them. I was involved with the horses at the time and doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I always ended up doing a lot of the cooking. And you know, kangaroo, it still jumps when it's on the grill. You know? It's stringy, and I tried some kangaroo jerky down there once. That was not very good. So, and I've got a pretty strong constitution on those things, but I don't recommend it. Anyway, we digress. We digress here. So what is your, I know you got a daughter that she cooks, or at least that's what the photos suggest there.
I have two daughters.
Okay.
One is, she cooks. She's not a chef or anything like that. She just, every once in a while, she'll say, I think I'll make some cookies or I'll do something. And then my youngest daughter, she's an actual pastry chef. And she is at a small university here in Florida. She cooks for them as kind of like the sous chef, pastry chef, all rolled up into one. So my other daughter came in.
Oh, that's
good. So that's what she does. So at the last World Food Championships, I took her with me, and she was my sous chef. And we did some desserts that my mom, she got hooked on to cooking from my mom. My mom was a home cook. But as every great chef will tell you, most cooks began listening to their grandmother or their mother.
Right.
Hanging around, licking beaters. And like my mom, sometimes she'd even turn them off when I licked them.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So yeah, it's crazy. But you know, but that's how she learned. She learned and mom took her under the wing and taught her some things, and she's got a lot of mom's old recipes. And so that's kind of what we cooked when we did the World Food and came in third place.
Well, good for you. Congratulations to her.
She's a lot of fun.
What brings you, we've got about a minute and a half before we go to break, Vic. Mm-hmm. So I want to give you a heads up on that, but what's your greatest joy when you're actually out there speaking to people?
Watching them learn something new.
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching a kid. Every day when you have a baby, every day is something new because they're noticing something new, and there's nothing like it. And the same thing when you're teaching, whether you're speaking or teaching, or even when somebody stops by and wants to know barbecue. One of my greatest joys of all of it is watching people learn stuff. I mean, I enjoy learning myself.
Sure.
When I see a light bulb go on somebody's head, like, oh, yeah, that. And then I'm thinking, you know, this whole trip has been worth that one moment. And that's to me the greatest joy of what I do.
I would imagine, because it's always, one, it's fun to interact with people. And and two, when they do learn something, when you tell somebody something on, you know, explain how to do it or why you do it that way. And like you said, you can learn things from them also. Mm-hmm. And I think when you get that, it's a big joy.
It is. And that's one of the reasons why when I'm at a competition or something like that, I'm not tucked away into the trailer prepping anything unless just the weather's just horrible. But I've got my prep tent that has screen sides, keep the bugs out. And I'm prepping right there so people can stop by and talk to me and visit and ask me why I'm doing stuff or test taste something when I'm, you know, getting it ready to put in a turn-in box.
And sure.
So, you know, it's a lot of fun to interact with people. If you're not going to interact with them, you know, how are you going to bring in the next generation of barbecuers if you don't show them that it's actual fun
to do
all this?
You have to have
fun. It's not just they're trying to make a living, but it's fun to do.
We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back and talk some more with Vic Clevenger, the cooking comedian, among other things, right after this. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. Sorry, I got laughing with Vic off the air there. If you'd like to email us, it's bbqnation@alphamediausa.com. That's bbqnation@alphamediausa.com. Or you can send your recipes there, too, if you'd like. We also have Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. And we have Twitter, which is the same thing. We got all the Twitters and the platforms, and it's all good. It's out there. Say hi to a couple of our affiliates really quick. KFLS in Klamath Falls, Oregon, and KVI News 570 in Seattle. So let's get back now and talk some more with Vic Clevenger, the cooking cowboy comedian. I added the cowboy part. Yeah. Because you wore cowboy boots. Yeah. It's all good there. So do people, besides when you compete, I mean, do they expect you to be funny all the time when you compete? I mean, there's times when people that are in our line of work don't want to be funny. They want to be serious for a second.
Yeah, there for a while, I'd be focusing on prepping my food, and people would walk by and say, hey, tell us a joke. And I always tell, like, show me some money.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be free. I'm not going to be funny for free. And they usually laugh, and they're like, I don't get it. And I'm like, well, I got things I got to do. So, yeah, and then you try to be funny and play with people, and it's being able to come up with a joke out of context is sometimes not as funny as if it was in a club or thing like that, or in your line of work too. So people want you to be on all the time, and sometimes you're just not. But I try to be quick witted. I try to interact with them and play with them. That's the cool thing is sometimes you don't have to tell them a joke. If I'm just kind of interacting with them, and I'm like, oh, so where'd you get that outfit? Because I can say, hey, tell me a joke. I'm like, hey, where'd you get that outfit?
Yeah.
And they're like, why? You don't like it? I'm like, no, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
You don't need a joke or something like that. And they're like, oh, you're so funny. And so you do that. And then when I turn in, like that one year I had to turn in a box. And I used to go by my team named the Cooking Comedian. They said, all right, before you turn in, you got to tell us a joke. I'm like, it's supposed to be a blind, so don't worry about it. And they laugh and would go on. So you just have that thing, but you try to be on in a different way when you're at a competition. So I try to be very personable and kind of joking all the time, but not really telling jokes like I'm doing a routine or something, but just playing around with people that are walking by or they stop in to see something. And so it's weird sometimes when they come up and say, hey, tell me a joke. You're the cooking comedian. I'm like, well, I don't have any. And so I've started coming up with different things that I do now. Because I'm like, well, I do go by the Cooking Comedian, so I should come up with something. So when they do ask me for something, I'm ready to go. But sometimes it gets hard.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the first few times you get recognized out and away from a venue or away from TV or away from... One good thing about radio, they don't really see you too much, you know?
Yeah, I got the face for radio, too. So
Yeah, I'm right there. We could be twins. And you know, but you're doing that stuff and... It's. I remember the first time that I did a TV show. This is way back in the 90s. Lady came up to me in the supermarket and started talking to me. Well, she, you know, I was very nice, but I wasn't petrified or anything. I just thought it was odd, you know, because I had never really experienced that before, that somebody would come up and talk to you that didn't know you, you know, unless.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. So you have to get used to that kind of stuff. But overall, it's kind of fun. You know.
Yeah, it happened to me down at a theme park. I was at a theme park, and somebody comes and says, so didn't we just see you last week at the improv at so-and-so town? I'm like, yeah. You were so funny. And so, yeah, it's kind of weird when you're just out hanging out with your family, or you're out having a drink or something with some friends or whatever. Somebody comes up and says, "Hey, did I just see you? Or aren't you so and so?" And yeah, so it's kind of humbling and weird all at the same time.
So let's talk a little barbecue. We got a few minutes here before the break. Let's talk a little hardcore barbecue. What's your favorite? You know, lump charcoal, charcoal? Is it stick wood? Is it pellets? Is it gas? What do you do?
Yeah, well, it really depends on what I'm doing.
Sure.
My go-to as far as doing low and slow is going to be wood all day. Pecan, oak, hickory, a cherry, apple. So any of those, depending on what I'm cooking, depends on what stick I'm going to grab. Because I like doing it the old-fashioned way. I'm an offset stick burner kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it depends on the wood. Like, for instance, I'm going to be doing an alligator next week there in Washington. So I'm not going to use cherry because that makes everything too dark. So I'll use something a little softer, like an apple if they've got it, or an oak, which is kind of neutral as far
right.
as bringing a smoke and bringing a color. I like cherry when I'm doing my ribs because it brings a nice mahogany look to not only adding this flavor, but more of it's a mild flavor, but it adds a nice color to it. Maple brings a sweeter, so it depends on that. But if I'm putting down a nice base, I'll do some B&B char logs, and they help offset some of the, if I'm not looking for smoke but more heat, then I'll throw some char logs in my offset to kind of help keep the temperatures up and stuff. But if I'm grilling, it's going to be briquettes.
Yep.
Mainly.
Yeah,
because briquettes are going to give me a nice even burn all the way across. And of course, I'm a team ambassador for B&B Charcoal, so I have to plug them. But they truly do offer a longer, hotter burn, and they're clean. Everything's 100% natural, but it's just a nice even burn. And I don't really ruin it except for when my wife wants a well done steak. I don't really ruin anything. When I use a briquette, when I put it on my grills, or cooking in a chimney. I'm cooking more now just using a starter chimney than I am a grill anymore because of the chimney cartel and everything. So it's a lot of fun. To have a favorite is hard. It all has to depend on what you're cooking. But if
right.
I had to choose, it'd be a wood and an offset.
Why do you tolerate your wife burning a steak well done?
Because it should be medium rare. A good hearty steak should be medium rare, no further than a medium, to give that good flavor, to give the good, the meatiness of it. It holds in the beef flavor, it holds in your seasonings. When you start doing well done, then you're cooking out a lot of the flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going to be, and if you're not careful, if you do a well done steak, it may look great, but then it's going to be a little tougher.
I thought maybe you were going to say you wanted to keep your house. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's shoot. No, she looks at me. I'll bring her in a medium rare to a medium steak. She'd be like, "It's a little too pink for me."
Yeah.
And I'm like, you go to all these competitions with me, and when Eric Hodson or some of those guys are from Boar's Night Out, they're cooking medium rare steaks, and you're right in there with the rest of us taking little bites and everything, but I cook one, and it's too much for you. And so I gave her hard down the road on that, but she's a good steak tester for me.
There you go.
Now here's a good for your listeners.
We got to take a break.
We
got to take a break, but we'll pick that up when we come back. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. You're listening to Barbecue Nation, and I'm JT, and we've got Vic Clevenger with us, and we'll be back in just a minute. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033. That's Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Before we get back talking with Vic Clevenger, what do you want me to call you? The cooking cowboy, comedian, comic, whatever? It's all good.
Yeah, just call me Vic. That'd
yep.
be good. Shorter.
just yarding on you, buddy. Just yarding on you. We'd like to thank Painted Hills from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Comes a beef product you can feel good about. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. And my friends down at Barclays, they have collectible silver dollars, excellent collection of men and women's 14-karat gold or better, gold rings and watches and stuff. That's Barclays in Woodburn. you might want to check them out. And don't forget to check us out on SoundCloud. That's Barbecue Nation. You have to spell that one out with JT. And then our email, of course, is Barbecue Nation, which is just the initials. I know, it gets complicated. At alphamediausa.com. Now, I'm being a smart aleck, but now I'm being serious. We're talking with Vic Clevenger, the cooking comedian there. And Vic's fixing to cook an alligator in Seattle coming up here, well, next week. So people listening to this show this weekend in Seattle should get prepped for Vic coming to your town. What is that, the 23rd through the 26th or something?
Yeah, Wednesday through Sunday, I think. I think they've got me slated to throw the alligator down on Saturday and make a big spectacle of it. So yeah, come on out and check us out. We're going to be there doing everything from Dutch oven cooking to steak cooking to barbecue to wild game to whole animal. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going down each day next week. So it's going to be and we got world champions coming in. Mark Lambert, who's a four-time world champion in barbecue, and we have Ken Phillips, who's a world champion steak cooker, as well as the founder of the Steak Cook-Off Association, is going to be there. Saffron Hodgson, who's done meat stock in Australia, who finished, I don't know if she's won it or she reserved grand it, but she did in meat stock, which is a huge thing in Australia. I believe it was one. Anyway, she finished well. And so it's an amazing group of talent. Then they're going to throw me in the mix of all that, bringing an alligator by the tail and telling a few jokes and emceeing the whole lot. But it's going to be, and we got like Gutter Wilhelm Knives is providing the trophies for each contestant. So, and they're a pretty good knife. I mean, well, they're beyond pretty good. They're the only knife I use, and it's a really sharp blade. So we've got like big names coming. People are going to be there. Bill Wright, who's a championship Dutch oven cooker, is going to be there. So it's going to be an amazing time. So it's cool. People need to come out for it.
That'll be fun up in Seattle this coming week. So
yeah. Is it called Power Up? It's right outside of Seattle. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, it's the Washington Outdoor Sportsman's Show. So Google it.
Yeah. It's Puyallup. Is the way it's pronounced. Puyallup. Yeah. And there's a big fairgrounds there and stuff. And it's good. And that's a well-attended show. So you'll enjoy that. So
there'll be a few people.
So now it's time, and for this thing, we're bringing it back now because we brought back some segments of the show that we kind of did away with for a while. But now we're coming back to the lightning round. So Vic, are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, here we go. Have you smoked an armadillo yet?
I have not. I want to. I call it possum on the half shell.
There you go. I like it. Hottest new person or thing out there on the barbecue circuit that you've seen in the last year?
Green Mountain Grills is bringing out a new grill in March, I believe, called the Prime, and I'm really excited to see it.
I am too, because I got one of their other ones on my back porch, and I do some stuff with them once in a while up here, so I'm excited to see it. If you could work with one of your barbecue heroes, who would it be?
Probably Chris Lilly.
Okay.
Or Eric Hodgson from Boar's Night Out.
What barbecue skill took you the longest to master?
Brisket.
What speaking skill took you the longest to master?
Actually keeping my thoughts within a time frame and keeping them concurrent.
Okay. If you could put your life to music, what would the music be?
Oh, mercy sakes alive. Born to Boogie.
Born to Boogie. Scale of 1 to 10, how much barbecue do you eat on a regular basis?
Scale of 1 to 10, 10.
Okay. If I declared you supreme barbecue ruler for a week, what would you, as supreme ruler, decree?
That you couldn't cook anything other than prime at the lowest level of beef. Everything else would have to be prime or above, so Wagyu and Kobe and all that stuff. And then it would be affordable. That'd be my decree.
Beef, there you go.
At affordable prices.
Where's the worst place you ever had to cook?
The worst place ever, oh, mercy, the worst place I've ever had to cook, probably on a lakefront over in Eustis, Florida. It was just horrible. I mean, it was just, other than I was able to get close to a lake fishing, it was just a badly run event, and it was just horrible.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen, Vic, done with a barbecue?
Put gas on it.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever done with a barbecue?
I started off cooking on one. That was about the dumbest thing, because now it's costing me an arm and a leg to keep up with everything.
There you go.
So can't get back. Can't go back now, so I might as well get better.
Ever cook in a thunderstorm or a snowstorm in your underwear?
Close. I've gone outside and checked some steaks and some low and slow pork in my underwear here in Florida, but, you know, that's kind of every day.
Yeah, and you guys don't have, well, you don't have snowstorms down there, I don't think, too often.
Not too often. I did cook at the beginning of a hurricane once. Put some stuff together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you get it in the eye? Did you get in the eye of the hurricane, or did you just let it bypass you?
Well, it was on one of the feeder bands. It was starting off, and so we did that, and then we were without electricity and everything for a while, so it was just nothing but one big block party. So I fired up the grills and the smokers, and as my brother was in that at the time, so we just had a big old, we had to empty all the freezers. It was either cook everything in the freezers or everything was going to go bad, so right. We just started cooking everything.
There you go.
And fired them up and kept them rolling.
Would you describe yourself as corn-fed or grass-fed?
Probably corn fed.
Yeah, me too. I always get a kick out of that when they say grass fed cattle. Well, pretty much all cattle are grass fed.
Exactly. If they're not grass fed, they're not on a farm someplace.
No, they're not. They're AstroTurf fed. Of course they are.
It's the rubber. They've gone from the Seattle Seahawks stadium there.
Yeah. That is true. Couple other questions here. Boxers or briefs? Or commando?
Boxers.
There you go.
Breed.
Captain and Tennille or the Allman Brothers?
Oh, the Allman Brothers all day.
There you go. Ford or Chevy?
Ford.
Favorite movie?
Oh, favorite movie would be the probably something, anything with John Wayne in it.
Okay. And the last question. What's the biggest change you think should be made in competition barbecue?
Bring in an exotic category to all the barbecues, rather than just keeping with the same brisket, pork, ribs, and chicken. Let's bring in brisket, ribs, pork, chicken, and an exotic of some kind, your choice, but put it on the same level, not just an ancillary. Because a lot of the exotics, like an alligator or an ostrich or for some people it would be lamb or whatever.
Sure.
A lot of those gets relegated down to the ancillaries. I would put one of them up on the level of the other. So you have to score in all five categories in order to grand, rather than, okay, your ancillary, that's great, here's your $100, but you want to really cook. Because an exotic animal is a lot different sometimes cooking than just what we're used to. And people get, and if you throw in the wild card, like at this competition, it's going to be alligator. Next competition, it's going to be this. And then that's what I would do. Or just make it a general, bring whatever you want, but it has to be an exotic kind of animal. And here's your list of animals to choose from.
Okay.
That's what I would have. That, and I would go to more an environmentally friendly turn-in box. Not that I'm a big environmentalist, because I'm not, but I think, having an environmentally biodegradable turn-in box would be well, and bring in a lot more people who are kind of watching what we do with all the styrofoam stuff.
Sure. We're going to come back in a minute with Vic Clevenger and wrap up the show, and then we are going to go to the after-hours thing. But your trivia question for the week. Last week we had Dr. Barbecue Ray Lampe on, and Ray works for, represents a company, a grill company, okay? A cooker company, whatever you want to call it. First two people that can email me the correct answer are going to get the last two subscriptions that I have to National Barbecue News. Okay? And it's free.
Love that organization.
Yeah. Kel and his crew down there. So the question is, what company does Ray Lampe rep for a big cooker or a big grill, whatever you want to call it? People call it by different names. And you can email me that answer at Barbecue Nation. That's BBQ Nation. At alphamedia.com, that's alphamediausa.com, excuse me. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show with Vic right after this. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation and everybody out there on the Radio Northwest Network and our stations down in Texas. We thank you for being with us today. Wrapping up the show today with a little CDB and the devil went down to Georgia. I got to tell you a quick story, Vic, about Charlie singing that song. We were doing the National Finals Rodeo for a number of years. I did the radio for that and the internet for that. We went to a meet and greet with Charlie at a hotel. And so we were in the room and Charlie's there and everybody walks through the line and just this and that. And I've interviewed Charlie probably a half a dozen times over the years. And so I went up to him and I said, he was sitting there all by himself after he did the meet and greet. He was just sitting there. I said, can I ask you a favor? He said, sure. I said, my daughter is, at that time, she was like eight or nine. And she loves, we play The Devil Went Down to Georgia every day on the way to school. Okay. So I called her and she answered the phone and I handed the phone to Charlie and he goes, Mercedes? She goes, yes. She goes, this is Charlie Daniels. Do you know who I am? And she goes, you're The Devil Went Down to Georgia, man. And he said, yeah. So he wished her Merry Christmas and all that. And they talked for a couple of minutes. And that's one of the highlights of that kid's life. So there you go.
Oh, that's fun. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And he was great about it. He was absolutely.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy. So, yeah, I've done several interviews with him. Like I said, over the years, a couple of TV interviews with him. It's all been good. Where do you think the competition barbecue is going, Vic? I mean, you're kind of in the heart of it. We don't have that much of it out here on the coast in compared to kind of the central states on east, you know? So what we see is just a smattering of what you guys have back there. But where do you see it going from here?
Well, I think it depends on where it's at. Like it's picking up huge. You're getting a lot more money involved in some of the purses. Australia is going gangbusters with American barbecue, and the competitions in Australia are just going amazing. Matter of fact, there was an Australia events group run by Jason Lido. So if you want to do an international show, he'd be the guy to call. He just partnered with a group out of California to do a combo brew and Q kind of events where they're doing stuff in California, they're doing stuff in Australia, and they're wanting to bring in one of my Chimney Cartel events where everybody grills steak on a chimney. Now, where I see everything going is everybody digs the low and slow type cooking, but with the advent of pellets and the drum cookers, there's getting to be, and of course a lot of the innovations of things like Old Hickory and things were becoming more and more of a set it and forget it kind of thing.
Right.
So a lot of the art of cooking barbecue is I think in danger, to be quite honest. Now, just cooking straight up barbecue for competitions, let's put a pellet grill on there, set the temperature and make sure the hopper's full of pellets. And then we can just go about our business, take a nap, and be ready to go in the morning. But with a stick burner, it kind of gets you back to the old ways of doing it. We have to feed the fire, manage the fire, and the challenges of live fire cooking. So I think that aspect of it is in danger to an extent. Not that it'll ever go away totally, but I think it's in danger to an extent in competitions. And with KCBS toying around, I don't know if they actually made the decision or not, I didn't keep up with that much, of adding gas to cookers. There's been a big boohoo about, using cookers with gas now to do barbecue. Now, a lot of your Old Hickories and a lot of your big cookers have a gas fitting so that people can put the propane to them. But to do it in competitions, are we getting back to the set it and forget it kind of thing? So I think the old style of being a fire manager is in danger of going. But on the flip side, the grilling aspect is taken off. The SCA, or the State Cook-Off Association, is perhaps the fastest growing food sport organization in the world, with Ken Phillips and Brett Galloway. Ken's going to be at the Washington thing next week. They are literally international in the past 5 years that it's been going on, maybe less than that. It's now gone international. And they're talking about big prize money. Instead of $3,000 or $4,000 at a world championship for barbecue. You're going to the steak world championship, and you're talking $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for the winner.
Sure.
So you're talking real money. Whereas you may or may not get $1,000 for a barbecue weekend, you're just about guaranteed $1,000 at every steak event you go to if you win that steak event.
Sure.
And they provide the meat for you. So when you pay your $150 to join a contest at a steak competition, all you got to do is show up with your charcoal and your grill, and you're already good to go because they provide the ribeyes for you, and you just have to season it and cook them. And you get two of them, one to practice with and one to turn in, and then you're good. And it's only $150 to enter. So the steak thing is really taking off like crazy. But my mission.
Wait a second, Vic, we're out of time, but we're going to pick this up in the after hours. Okay.
Perfect, man.
All right. So we got to get out of here. I want to thank Vic Clevenger for being with us today.
Oh, and my pleasure, man.
Yeah, it was great to have you. We'll have you back again. And for everybody, we thank you for listening this week to Barbecue Nation. We'll be back again next week with another show. Take care.